Once again, we have gathered on a Sunday evening for an opportunity to sing praises to God and have engaged in that and take opportunity to look at the Word of God. And I ask that you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 will be the text that we begin with this evening, verses 12 through 19. There, Peter the Apostle says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Here Peter tells us, as he writes to those in the first century, encouraging them and giving them strength, and as we've recalled before in looking at Peter's letters, reminding them of the things that they need to know, he tells us, don't be surprised that you're tested and tried, that you have to deal with trials. In fact, the idea presented here is that we ought to expect such things if we are servants of God. Certainly, as we talked this morning, we are to be the light of God in the world, and this world is full of darkness. And so that should in itself tell us that it should be no surprise that we are tested and tried, that there are those that try to tear us down from what we believe, that there are those that wonder why it is we don't engage in the same things that they do in this world, and we need to learn to deal with trials. As we think about trials, certainly we recognize that we are tried by God, and as Paul tells us, we are to test ourselves. Certainly, we know that he's talking about us being tried. Now, John tells us that we have a responsibility to try the spirits in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, so we can test and see whether they are truly of God. But we are the ones that are going to be suffering trials and enduring those things, because God is God and we can't try Him. He's not going to be tried, and we should not test Him, because He is the Creator. But we are tried. And Job tells us in Job chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. Job chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. He says, "What is man that you magnify him, and that you are concerned about him, that you examine him every morning and try him every moment?" As Job tries to answer the reasons for the things that he's enduring as he goes through his process of grieving and sorrow and dealing with his situation, he asks God, "Why do you even care?" But in asking Him, does He even care, He also says, "Why do you care enough to test us?" Or at least that's the way it comes across to me. Not just why do you test us and try us, God, but why do you care enough to try us and test us? And in what Job says there, in my understanding of it, I may be mistaken, but what I see Job saying there, it reminds us that this testing that we receive by God is not to try to tear us down. Certainly, we're going to deal with trials and tribulations that are those in this world trying to tear us down. And we'll talk about some of those results or the things that happen as a result of those things as we go through and look at some things this evening. But God tests us because He has concern and care for us. He wants to know how we stand, where we stand. He wants to know that we can overcome. certainly mankind is the one that is tested. We find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, even Abraham himself was tested. We made reference to this in the invitation just this past Wednesday night as we talked about his test, the testing of his faith in offering his son Isaac and how he stood up to that test. And certainly we recognize that we are going to be tested as mankind because the righteous are the ones, the psalmist tells us, that are going to be tested. In Psalm 11 and verse 5, Psalm 11 and verse 5, the psalmist there, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So all of mankind are going to be tested and tried of God, and certainly we are going to be tested when we are those who are righteous. What's going to be tested? As Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, our faith is going to be tested and tried. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found in result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter compares our faith to gold, and that our faith is tested just like gold would be tested to ensure its purity, to cleanse the impurities. Our faith is going to be tested. Our heart, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, is going to be tested. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Now certainly we know when we talk about the heart, what we're talking about is the inner man, the mind of man. It's not talking about the physical blood pump that we have that moves our life-sustaining blood through our body, but it is our mind, our consciousness, the inner part of who we are. And we've dealt with this in lessons before, but it is that part that will be preserved throughout all eternity, either eternity in heaven with God because we have been faithful, or eternity being punished for our wickedness if we are not faithful unto God. That's the part of man that's going to be tested. We will have physical trials and troubles as we go through this life, but what we're concerned about is the testing and trial of our faith, of our heart, of the inward person. Will it stand up to the things that we must deal with? And certainly when we talk about trials, our main concern is, why do we have to deal with trials anyway? What's the purpose? Why would we have to be put through the test when we've already obeyed the gospel? We heard the word, we read the word, we've studied, we've applied it to our lives. And so now, why are we continually being tested and tried? Well, first we have to be proved. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, it is to prove us. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you, which comes upon you for your testing or proving. Because we need to be shown that we can stand true whenever materials are made. If you ever watch the TV show How It's Made, any at all, you recognize, you understand that whenever they make, especially making something new, or whenever they run another line of a particular product, they pull a part of it out and test it to make sure that it meets all the requirements. Well, in a general sense, the same thing is true of us as Christians. We need to be tested to ensure that we are the faithful and true person that we ought to be. But it also builds our character. It helps us to develop those things that we need to have in order to be children of God. We read over in 2 Peter chapter 1 those characteristics that we need to develop as Christians. And the way that we develop those things is by overcoming the test and the trials and tribulations of this world. We need to be tested so that it can produce humility. As we read of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he speaks of having a test put upon him. And he'd asked God to remove this three different times, it says. And there in verse 9 it says, God told him that his grace was sufficient for him. Paul needed to learn humility. Turn with me over there to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. By dealing with this, Paul learned that he was not some overwhelming person. In verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul learned from this test, from this trial, this, as it's referred to, thorn in the flesh, that he did not need to exalt himself, that he was a weak and frail human being. It could have been easily the other way. The Apostle Paul was very successful in his efforts for the Lord. He'd overcome much. He had changed, probably a greater change than all of the apostles put together, because of what he had been doing before he obeyed the gospel versus what he did after. He was very successful in spreading the word, and many people that are in a position such as that would begin to think very highly of themselves. The Apostle Paul said, I needed to learn not to exalt myself, but to think of myself above that which I truly am. And this trial, this test that was placed upon him, and this thorn in the flesh, was a means of reminding him that his strength came from God, not from his own abilities, not from his own opportunities, but because he served the God of heaven. The book of James tells us that such trials produce patience. In James chapter 1 and verse 3, he says in verse 2, actually, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or endurance, as some of the newer versions render that. Being able to stand up under the trials and tribulations teaches us and develops within us patience, the ability to endure and to overcome. And certainly, we don't have to read very much in the book of Revelation to recognize that it is the one who overcomes who will be able to receive the blessings from God and the crown of life. We need to be able to develop this ability to overcome and to endure, to continue faithfully. Whether we look at that as patience or we look at it as endurance, long-suffering, another term that is used in reference to this kind of an ability, our ability to bear up under trials and to overcome them, to continue to faithfully and patiently serve God throughout all our days here upon the face of the earth. It's something that is completely essential. If we're going to be pleasing unto God, if we're going to last, we must have endurance. And these trials, the testing of our faith, produces such endurance and patience within us, because it brings about a strengthening force upon us as well. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. Romans 5, beginning in verse 3, not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Older versions render that strength. And we can see that it is that idea of strength or endurance, ability to overcome. Much like those who want to participate in some game of skill or participate in the Olympics must continually test themselves, put themselves to the trial in order to develop that strength. Those who are trying to lift weights don't develop their strength by sitting back and looking at how heavy the weights are. They develop that strength by testing themselves to see how much they can lift, and by continually going back and doing that. And so the trials and tribulations, the difficulties of this life, are going to bring about strength. That's why we're tested. That's why we're tried. Scripture tells us these things come upon us so that we can grow as a Christian, so we can develop. I read a story one time about a young boy who found a caterpillar cocoon. It was going to turn into a butterfly. It was trying to break out, but it couldn't break out. And
So he broke the cocoon open, and the butterfly was never able to fly because it didn't develop the strength that it had to develop while breaking that thing open in order to become the strong insect that it needed to be in order to work its wings. It had to go through that test and that trial in order to develop into what it ought to be. And the same is true of us today. If we're going to be Christians, we have to learn to rejoice in our trials because they are what make us strong. They are what make us who we are and able to bear up and to deal with the troubles and difficulties. And certainly, that is the message of the Apostle Peter as he talks about the reaction of the brethren when they are tried. He says, do not be surprised when you are tested and tried by these things. Certainly, the same thing would apply to us today. We understand that those who are different than we are going to question why we stand as we do. Those who listen to us speak about the Word of God and what is expected of us as children of God oftentimes will question us regarding why we would be devoted to something that hinders us in so many things. We're not surprised to know that people question our allegiance to God. Many of the writers of the New Testament, Peter included, and the Apostle Paul, spoke of how they should not be surprised that the people that they used to hang around with wonder why they don't engage in the kind of things that they used to engage in. Why are you different from us? We need to learn to rejoice in these things as a reminder that we are being developed into the people that God would have us to be, that we are becoming stronger and more faithful to the Lord by enduring these trials and tribulations. Jesus spoke of this just as well in Matthew chapter 5, right after he was actually toward the end of the Beatitudes. He's talking about the blessings, and he says in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says we ought to recognize these sort of things as a blessing upon us. Certainly they ought to be a reminder to us that we are different from the rest of the world. Now we can't take that as a statement that we're definitely faithful to God, certainly. But it should be an indicator that there's some difference between us and the world when they begin to insult us and persecute us and speak evil against us. It should be a reminder to us that we are seeking to be different. We're seeking, as we talked this morning, to be lights in the midst of a dark and dank world of sin. And it seems as we go through life, especially this day and age, some of the things we're having to deal with, there is becoming an even greater and greater gulf fixed between us and those who are living in the world. A greater distinction between those who are striving to be righteous and those who are simply enjoying life. While in other areas it seems that there are many who would have been standing with us who have drifted off to the side, and there's little distinction. Hard to notice sometimes. But the fact that we stand different is going to cause people to question us, to talk to us and ask us. And we ought to rejoice in such things because it strengthens, it upholds, and it is a sign that we are different from the rest of the world. But we also need to recognize the need to talk to God regarding these things. We ought to pray. Trials and tribulations that we have to endure in this life are difficult for us to overcome sometimes. We're reminded again of the Apostle Paul as he spoke there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He spoke to God multiple times because of this trial, this thorn in the flesh that he had. And we're instructed that we ought to pray and talk to God when we're having our trials and difficulties. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, Acts chapter 16, and verse 25, we have the example there of Paul and Silas. They have been wrongfully in prison. Well, maybe not wrongfully in the mind of the people that put them in prison, but they've been cast in prison because they took away someone's livelihood when they cast out a demon from a girl. In verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. While they were undergoing this trial and this tribulation, they spoke to God. They prayed and they sang. Certainly, when we look at the things that are engaged in there, they were offering praise to God while they were in the midst of their tribulation and trial. But I can't help but think, knowing the things that we know about the Apostle Paul, that they also were talking to God, asking for His care and His watch, for His consideration for their particular situation. Several times, as we have studied through the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to the various congregations while he was in prison, he asked them to pray for his situation. Pray mostly that he would be able to continue to preach the word with boldness, but also to pray regarding his situation. Pray regarding the trials and tribulations of various others that he was in contact with while the time frame when he was writing these letters. We need to pray and talk to God. Whenever we find ourselves in a situation that is trying, one of the first things we ought to do is take it to God in prayer. Spend time talking with Him about our situation, asking Him for His watch and care over us. We need to pray when we are facing our trials and tribulations, but we must continue in the work that we've been assigned to do. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, Acts chapter 20, and verse 19, Paul there speaking to the Ephesian elders says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. Just a quick statement elsewhere. He talks in more detail about the things that he had to endure as a preacher of the gospel and the trials and tribulations and persecutions that he endured. But here, just a quick statement, but a reminder in that statement that during all of these things, he continued to serve the Lord. He continued to do the work that was assigned for him to do. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, as we read just a moment ago, the latter part of that verse, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. The indication there seems to be that while we may be suffering and having to endure trials and tribulations, we still are doing what we're supposed to do. We're still working for and serving the Lord. We're still putting our faith and our trust in Him. And certainly, that's the lesson that we learn from Hebrews chapter 11, from all of those heroes of faith, but in particular, Abraham there in verse 17. That even though he was being put through a trial, he put his trust and his faith in God. Even as he and Isaac were going up the mountain to offer the sacrifice, and Isaac questioned, "What's going on?" Abraham said, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a lamb for his offering." He put his trust in God. Certainly, when we are dealing with trials and tribulations, not only do we need to lay it at God's feet by talking to Him in prayer, but we need to, even more than we would otherwise, maybe, put our trust and our hope in God. That's the time we need to turn to God so that we can take advantage of His care and His concern for us. Think about this. I'm reminded of the poem we sometimes see in plaques in folks' home about the footprints in the sand and how there's two sets of footprints, and then at the deepest, darkest times, there's only one set of footprints, and ask, "Why did you leave me there?" And that's when I carried you. In our time of sorrow and difficulty is when we need to put our trust in the Lord the most. We need to lean upon Him. We do that by talking to Him in prayer and continuing to serve faithfully Him and only Him, by letting Him guide us and lead us through whatever our difficulties and trials may be in this life. Trials are going to cause us problems, yes, but they cause us to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be able to endure and overcome if we continue in serving the Lord, putting our trust in Him as we go through these trials. The end result is God will take care of us. Honestly, those four things listed up there, that's what they boil down to. God will give us the grace to be sustained. That's what He told Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. It will take care of you. Don't worry about this difficulty that you have. We don't have to take it away. You're under my watch and my care. I will take care of you. It will deliver us." If we put our trust in God and our hope in Him, and we continue to serve Him, even though we're dealing with trials and tribulations, bearing up under those difficulties and those sorrows, God will deliver us through them. Psalm 34 and verse 7, the psalmist says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them." God is there to watch over and care for us. He will protect us. He will keep us safe. He will bring us safely through whatever trials or tribulations we may have to endure in this life, as long as we continue faithfully to serve Him, as long as we overcome. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth." Now, I almost said Revelation 2 and verse 10, and certainly that's another verse that reminds us that God is there, and that if we are faithful through the testing and the trials, we will receive the reward. These verses remind us that as long as we continue in the service of God, He'll protect us, He'll care for us, and He'll deliver us from those trials. The only way we're going to overcome the trials and difficulties of this life is to put our trust in God. Paul could not have borne that thorn in the flesh on his own. If he could have, he wouldn't have been praying to God, asking Him to take it away. But God said, "I'm with you. My grace, my watch, my care is sufficient." And Paul was able to carry on. We will find ourselves approved of God if we remain faithful through our trials and our tribulations. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul there says, "For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you." The trials and tribulations and our being able to bear through them and overcome them cause us to be noticed as those who are approved, those who are selected, those who are blessed of God. Overcoming will allow us to enter into the final reward. It will allow us to be arrayed in white. Notice Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "The one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from?' And I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Now, we recognize that the book of Revelation is filled with figurative language. And the idea here is that we have been cleansed. We have borne up under the trials and the tribulations. We have been able to overcome the testing that we must endure here upon this earth. And we will be clothed in white, cleansed of our sins, washed, as it says, in the blood of the Lamb. But only if we endure. Only if we overcome our trials. Only if we pass the test. That's one of the main reasons Paul tells us through the Corinthian letter that we need to test ourselves, that we need to try ourselves. Because we need to make sure that we can stand. We need to make sure that we are ready for whatever comes upon us. Talked a moment ago about the testing of products to make sure that they meet the qualifications. That's what Paul's talking about there. We need to test ourselves. Because if we do, and we overcome, there are great rewards that are waiting. We'll receive the crown of victory in James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And as we read in Acts chapter 14, and verse 22, Acts 14 and verse 22. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Overcoming and enduring the trials. Being able to stand up against the difficulties and struggles of this life. Strengthens us so that we can bear with more. So that we can overcome, and so that we are able to help others in overcoming their difficulties. Paul tells us that one of the reasons God comforts us in sorrow is so that we can comfort others in their sorrow. The reason that we have been tested and tried in regards to things is so that once we have overcome those things, we have the ability and the means to help someone else to overcome those same difficulties and struggles. Once we have gotten ourselves out of the sinfulness of this world by being obedient to the will of God and taking advantage of the salvation that is offered by Christ and His death upon the cross, we are prepared to help others to do the same. Once we have overcome the difficulties and trials, we can help others in that struggle, and we will receive a crown of life if we remain faithful. Enduring under the trials is certainly the end result that we seek. If we do, then as Peter said, we can rejoice with exultation. We can rejoice knowing that we will be with God for all eternity. In the latter part of our reading, Peter makes a statement that I think sometimes we may have misunderstood. He says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where do the ungodly and sinner appear? I think that's probably a quote from the King James instead of the New American Standard. But the point he's making there, if the only way that we are saved is by keeping ourselves faithful in the face of trial, if we're beset by difficulties and struggles, even though we have God on our side, what kind of hope does the one who does not have God have? None whatsoever. That lays upon us the responsibility to be that hope and that help by giving them the Word of God, by teaching them about the means of salvation through the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, so they can have the same opportunity of entering victorious into heaven that we have. Trials will come to you. One who serves the Lord is going to suffer persecution. No way around it. And we should not hope to get around it, because it is that very persecution, the trials and tribulations of this life, that makes us strong, that helps us endure, to overcome, and that refines us, just like gold and other metals are refined in the fire, so that we stand pure and clean in the sight of God, and we can have a hope of being with Him for all eternity. Endure your trials. Rejoice when you are persecuted, knowing that it leads to the testing and strengthening of your faith so that you can stand up under the things that may come upon you later. Overcoming temptation now is one of the greatest means we have of being able to overcome greater temptation later, as long as we're dependent on the Word of God and living according to His Word. God will assist us.
you look in your life this evening and you find that you're straight and serving the Lord, or you've been overcome by trials and tribulations and you have not overcome them, we urge you to make changes in your life, set things right with the Lord. Come back to the Lord and ask Him for help. Pray to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Having turned from your wrongs, we know He will take your sins away. He will assist you in overcoming whatever trials you may deal with. Parents, you can assist you in that. Why don't you come and stand and sit in your church?